Welcome to eHealth Learning, inspiring professionals worldwide.
So over the next 3 weeks, on Tuesdays at 10:30, there'll be a series of workshops, and they're very much interactive movement workshops. But the main thing that it's looking at is looking at our human movement in connection to past species and in connection to the different layers of evolution. So that's spanning from movement in the water all the way through to quadrupedal movement and then later bipedal movement. So a lot of times when we work with the body, we typically always see it as a, you know, kind of in its vertical form, but actually it's these movement patterns underneath which actually play a key role in how the body is shaped, how it is formed, and then also how it adapts. So we'll be stepping through some of those movement findings, and the webinar that we did this morning was speaking a little bit about that and also some of the origins of the information. So some of it is from a therapeutic background, and some of it is from working with paleontologists, and another section is from movement from the perspective of theater and animal movement studies. So yeah, there'll be 3 weeks starting from Tuesday, and do come along if you're free. So yeah,
wonderful. So
that is the spiel of, like, that is certainly the intro to the three-part course that will be coming up. But today, and John, shall I start, or?
Yes, sure. I can just, maybe I'll just introduce you for people who weren't here this morning. So Vicky's been with us before. Vicky is a craniosacral therapist and a structural integrator. In fact, she studied with our friend Liz Stewart, I think. And she's speaking to us from Canterbury today. And tonight she's going to be talking about losing our center and the impact of online communication on our posture and sensory awareness. And I'm really looking forward to this, seeing as I've just spent a whole weekend hosting a class on Zoom, which is pretty intense. Vicky's also been with us before because she works a lot with in the theater and with particularly with masks. And she did a wonderful webinar for us a while back about that, about her work with that. So welcome, Vicky. Thank you for being here. Thank you.
Pleasure. And it's, yeah, nice to join you all, and yeah, in particular, join you members, and get to share some perspectives from theatre and communication in that way. So part of my work, as John mentioned, has been in something called structural integration, or rolfing. And that really looks at creating alignment through the body in the gravitational field. And alongside, when I was training in that, I came across a lot of theatre practices. And that has really led me to go into things like the neutral mask, which is a way of studying body posture, but through where it's actually where the face is not shown. And what's really interesting is it is a method, it's a way of really being able to reveal some of the postures and the emotions and archetypes connected to those different postures. So it's a tool in training performers and actors to know what they're holding in their body when they're just standing on stage. What is it that they are communicating from just their posture? So that's been, you know, kind of one of the branches and one of the sidelines that I've gone into since structural integration. And another thing in the mix, and as well you mentioned it, is craniosacral therapy, which has come in from more of an energetic viewpoint. And what I was amazed at when I first came across craniosacral was the awareness of position of the body and how we relate to our client and how that affects what is shown in the energetic system. And it is these different ingredients of actually how we relate, not just in the vertical field, but the horizontal field, that is really key in communication. And what I found as I was going through these different modalities and really training in these different fields is I found that they were telling the same stories, or the same principles were really underlying, connected to the body. And what I will be doing today is really linking these up and applying it to what's happening now as we all go online and spend a lot of our time online and connect in this world. And what I want to do is bring back some of the key things that I have learned and I have been training performers in, but in application to how we are communicating and the effect on the posture. So let us begin. And I am going to, I will share my screen. Is that all right, John?
Yes, great, yeah.
Right. Host disabled attendee screen sharing. So we might
cut that out.
I won't share my screen just yet.
We don't want you to share.
so yeah, but yeah, it's yeah.
I do it. You need to do it, yeah, John. I just realised I can't do it. Sorry about that.
No, it's absolutely fine.
Should be all right now.
Okay, great. Let's try and go for it now. Okay, let's go forward. Good. So I'm gonna play that. There we are. Great. So here we are, and I'm sure everyone listening to this and being present for this is now using Zoom and online platforms a whole lot more over the last few months. And so what's really interesting is, so just firstly, just to cover a little bit of stuff. So firstly, interestingly, I'm going to tell you what I'm not going to cover. I'm not going to cover things about digital eye strain, and I'm also not going to cover things about postural assessment. And the reason why I'm not going to cover these is because they link into any type of use of a computer. So these are some of the base things. If you're going to Google, if you're going to be online, if you're whatever you're going to do on a computer, these are some base essentials. These are some things, really key factors. But what I'm going to focus on today is actually how our means of communicating is affecting our body system. So rather than talk about the technology as a whole, I'm wanting to really focus on how it is affecting our body. So these are base things that are important and also play an important role or a good factor, but I'm gonna put them to an aside right now so we can talk more about some of the dynamics within the body. So what we are going to look at is we're going to look at the posture of relationship, the connection, the effects of energetic contact, and also the shifts in the senses, and also some relationships to spatial communication. Now, this really is based in a lot of what we kind of term nonverbal communication. And it really hinges this, all of that side of things. The spatial communication comes from physical theater background and understanding how we communicate by physical movement and in relationship to others. So firstly, we're gonna come to understanding two of the main dimensions of us as human beings. And I'm sure I'm talking to a lot of health professionals, and I'm sure you will be, this may be present already within your field of work. But just to recap is to firstly to come into awareness of the vertical field. And this is really, really present for practices such as the Rolf work and also practices like Alexander technique. And one way of tuning into this or connecting into this, a really beautiful example and experience out in nature, is the vertical field that trees can have. So you may see, if you look down at the bottom of that picture there, you'll see a human being standing at the base of that tree. And it is very much this dynamic that we have of the gravitational flow flowing through us. And so what I'd like to do is just for a moment, I'd like to invite you just to close your eyes and to check into the weight going down. And this is the weight going down through your sit bones, and the contact with the chair or the floor. And checking down and almost checking down maybe a meter beneath you right now. Feeling the weight. And within that, as you check into the weight going down, you may also feel an opposite force. This is an equal and opposite force going up. And just check into relaxing, almost melting into this. As you breathe and as you just check in, it may begin to flow up through your body. How much can you be supported up through your body? Do you feel that in the pelvis? Maybe you feel it up in the thoracics. Good. And so now we're going to come around and just to note. So we've got in this vertical plane, we have these two forces present. And within that, they're present standing and they're also present sitting. And we really organize the blocks of our body around those forces. So that is the first thing to note, is that vertical field coming up through. And within that, you may, just from a sitting position or if you're standing, just begin to tilt forward. And begin to tilt back. Almost as if you're leaning on space. So we can lean on the space behind us, and we can lean on the space in front of us. And then we have our neutral going all the way through. So from here, from this line going down, we have, there is the energetic torus. That is a common perception of the body's energy field, is this torus shape and this connection through the midline, through the vertical. And from there, so it's really checking in to this line going down. So first of all, we have this vertical, this midline going down through our body posture. And we can settle into the gravitational field in a physical sense. And within theatre, really interestingly, when we look, and maybe I'll just use this here, when we look at the body in the vertical, there are certain qualities that happen. So one is when we see a body, as if we summarize a body as the vertical, then typically it can relate to, firstly, it's relating to the solo posture. So it's looking at the relationship of the individual to the gravitational field. It's also related into being one of many. So one example of this is if you go to a cemetery, say for example, of war graves, and there's been many, many soldiers that have fallen, then that each one is an identical vertical cross. And it is that which is, there's this kind of neutrality, but there is this sense of one of many. It's really tuning into that vertical line. that all beings are the same. We are each human being are the same. There's less character. It's less an emphasis on character, and it's more an emphasis of just a being. So it's bam, down like that. In theatre as well, sometimes they'll relate to the vertical in terms of theatre styles. It will relate to the tragedy. And that will be very much the hero's journey and this fight coming up to the vertical. So really coming up through. And it's almost like this incredible, I want to say aggression, but it's this incredible sprouting. If you see in spring, when things really sprout from the earth, there is this firing up through, and there is this interplay between the power and the rising up and the pressure of gravity down that connects into the dynamic of tragedy within the realm of theatre. So this is really checking into, firstly, the physical realm going up through the vertical of the body. Now what I want to do is to check in to the horizontal. And that is, so within we have, obviously, our vertical, but we also have the connection out from any part along the spine. And typically, when we look at communication, when we look at reading, when we look at relationship and reading a story in the physical landscape, typically it is all about how it's not just about the one. It is about the one relative to another and how that comes together. So how are these verticals relating? And that is all connecting in the horizontal field. And so typically, I'll give a little example, is in training performers, sometimes when we're really starting to get to know different relationship in the room on a physical level, sometimes what we'll do is relate, we'll actually use bamboo. And when two performers are holding up bamboo, then actually you'll see, okay, when is the plane? Where can you see the connection? And when do they become two separate things that are not in relationship? And it's a really interesting thing of seeing when there is a plane. Okay, so we start to, is it starting to go? When does it then fall out of relationship and be two individuals? So it is this relational field that is within the horizontal. So that is the second essential ingredient into our human body. We have the vertical going down and we have this horizontal. And I want to share with you some examples just so you can get more of a flavor. So here we have, you can see the direct horizontal. This is the connection, the relating side of things. And we can relate through many different parts. We can connect via the eyes, or we can relate through the heart field. And so a real strong archetype in theater is actually this pulling, this drawing forward from the heart. And you can see it, certainly you can see this kind of very set reaching within this painting here, but you can really see it over, we've got the Romeo and Juliet over here in the black and white. And from the man and his posture, you can really see there's a drawing forward. So we have these horizontal lines of relationship. You can see when there is this drawing forward, when there's a coming together, but you can also have not just the drawing forward, but you can also have the coming together in conflict. So rather than it being a pull, it is then a push from behind. And that's really what we see up here at the top, is when there's that engagement, that conflict together. Again, that is a relational dynamic. Things are starting to happen and interact and go forward. We also see a number of different combinations. So this horizontal field is the field of relationship. And within theatre, it's related into melodrama. So it relates into the push and pull of relationship. And this can connect to any relationship that we have in life. It may be a love relationship and a dynamic of really, it's really that dance of space between each other. You may find that someone pulls away, maybe you'll get drawn into it, or maybe they'll start pushing you and you get pushed back. There is this really dynamic interplay, and it all occurs through this horizontal connection. And within this, I'm going to show just that this lower picture here of these really wonderful children who are in a little bit rah. And this is a really great one because it actually shows a really set dynamic, which is that they are actually in they're both in conflict, but they're actually in different spinal relationships. And so, for example, you can have the push, but then there's also this wave back. So I mentioned, I'm going to do a bit of a segue here. And I don't know if you were really early on the talk. If you were, you might have caught me and John talking about dolphins and whales and the movement through the spine, which is really key in our bodies. So we have this forward undulation through the spine. And we also can move the opposite relation. So we can do something called the reverse undulation. And this is a really key ingredient in conflict. So what you can do is there's this checking forward, coming into conflict, and then coming back. And you'll see it in the neck. And if you're ever at a lecture or look across an audience, when this happens quite a lot in academic settings, but typically when someone's not agreeing with an idea, they'll do this head movement back, and she's starting to do it there, and you've got this questioning, this movement back, and within the dynamic of flow through the spine, it's going into something called the reverse undulation. So this is another, it's all an interplay within these horizontal dynamics. So coming in, sometimes with this relational field on the horizontal, there'll actually be a time when someone will be expressing in a differing level. So this is an example, this is a beautiful sculpture, but you can see a slightly different relating. He's moving forward and she's really staying grounded, maybe slightly back. So it's not always in relationships that the dynamic of movement is matched. They can differ. And then this one is a really beautiful photo. And that was in the Reuters news. And it's from the protest in Baton Rouge in 2016. And you can see clear as day, actually this rooting down, she's really connecting into the vertical, as they're really connecting into the dynamic of the horizontal movement. And it's a really interesting thing. So she is not connecting into those horizontal dynamics there. And it's a really powerful, powerful way to respond in something like a protest. So actually, I'll come back to this one, actually, because if there's, for those people that deal with clients, if you're a practitioner that you have clients in whatever practice, whether it's a very physical based massage practice or whether it's in something more like psychotherapeutic work, typically what's really interesting on a subtle level to check into is as a practitioner, we hold a neutral space. And we hold a neutral space for people to process different dynamics through in the physical body or in the emotional body. And what is really interesting is within the self, within as a practitioner, to really check in to this vertical connection down and the horizontal. So in certain dynamics, in certain client dynamics, you'll be drawn in. In other dynamics, you'll be pushed away, and it's pushing you on and off this vertical. And part of the practice in some ways is actually staying back, staying within this vertical when we enter into when we enter into some relational dynamics within the field. So it's an interesting thing to be aware of, is this vertical and this horizontal aspects of relationship. From here, so I've shown you one or two photos or images of set relationships, the push and pull. And certainly it's something that strongly interplays within theatre and dance. And if you're curious, there is this very wonderful clip. It's from a piece called The Statement by Christine Pite. And it's out on Facebook. I will send a link around to John and he can put it into the links after this talk. But it's something really to check into, because it begins to show, and it's in a very clear kind of dramatized form, but it's really clear to show the dynamics of movement of the push-pull within regular conversation, within text. And that shows how through our different layers, we have this physical push-pull, but we also have the dynamic of movement in text, in vocal resonance, in relationship to space. And so these are some of the ingredients into really how we interrelate and communicate. And coming back to this quality of the relationship to the horizontal relational field, is to really to check in as well that there is this connection, where it originates from is the connection to the mother. And as we look from a cranial sacral perspective, as we look at a visceral relationship, there is really these horizontal fields, certainly from the umbilical cord, but really just from our energy field, from our human energy field forward. And one of the strong ones is from the mother. So it's this relationship that is connecting into the relational field, which is set up from very much the very beginning of our life. So we've checked in, we've gone through a little bit of background in terms of the physical dynamic, in terms of the vertical and the relational field. And that's been very much in the area of physical position, physical posture. But something which I found fascinating, and this is something that led me to go into do craniosacral therapy, was not just the physical posture, but our energetic contact. So how we can be drawn in as a client and as a practitioner working with a client, how our presence, even when we take a neutral physical posture, how our presence and our focus can really shift a client. So as we relate in, this is from kind of craniosacral background or craniosacral viewpoint, as we connect with a client, we may be in a neutral physical posture, but another part of it is our connection energetically to space. If we are trying to fix a client and lean in, or if we are spaced out and we go far too wide, that has a shift in the dynamic. So from there, we're going to move on. So as I said, yeah, so searching and going in, if we suddenly peer into a system, then it's very much like a forward listening. It's this coming forward, and the body system responds. It will close down, it will come smaller. So one thing I'm going to do now is, in connection to this, is really within the field of cranial sacral, one of the practices has been to create, to become aware of the fulcrums. And one of them, I'd like to briefly introduce you to these because it has an effect, it has a connection later on into how we relate to things online. So firstly, we started to work into this a little bit earlier. I would like you to come back and check down into the contact with the earth and almost imagine that you're going to grow roots down. And just check in and grow the roots down through the feet and through the sit bones. And let the system drop. And you may want to imagine going even a little bit further, so maybe 2 meters. Maybe even further still. And just notice in this moment, it may be easy for you to drop, or it may be maybe more challenging, and just notice that and let it go as you keep connecting and exploring these roots. And you may go even deeper. You might even go down a kilometer, or even go down to the earth's core. And just letting the rest of your body really melt around that. And from there, we're going to take our awareness up above our head. So if we do come back to that image of the tree, as we've rooted down into the earth, then just beginning to explore the branches, beginning to explore the leaves, maybe even imagining the sky above. It could be nighttime, or you could imagine a blue sky in the day. Just checking into that space above. And there's lightness. So you may feel this really beautiful quality of almost warmth floating. Qualities of almost, if you were that tree, like kind of evaporation off the leaves, the light quality coming through. And then as a third point, imagining that there is a connection, the base of your head, and it's just going to go down at about 45 degrees behind you. And just checking into these 3 points. So checking in, going down. Checking in, going up, the lightness there. And then also almost like a guy rope, this connection of the back of the head down, behind. And And especially as you connect into that guy rope going down towards the back, just start to explore the air behind you. So the air behind the head. If you were to put an eye in the back of your head, what would you see at this minute? You might see a wall, you might see a bookcase. What is there in your room as you're sitting? And coming in to a little bit of movement if you like, just beginning in this imaginary eye behind on the back of the head, just start looking around. You might look up to a corner of the room, you might look down, you might look back, maybe down to the floor. And then from there, you have an option within this exploration to bring the eye lower down the spine. So it might go down between the shoulder blades, may go down just to the base of the ribs. What can you see? What can you hear if it was an ear? You may even want to put two eyes or two ears at a specific point along the back surface of your body. And just notice how your body begins to respond. Nice. So good, letting it slowly melt away. And at the moment, we're in a very kind of set webinar kind of format, but I'd love to hear what eyes or what ears or what senses you brought into your body and how that felt, what you noticed. So do you enter into the chat? It'd be great. It'd be really lovely to hear the different explorations and coming into this. So just having a little recap. So coming back to the almost the theoretical understanding behind these craniosacral fulcrums is really that it connects down. We've got this rooting, we've got this rising up. It really brings us into this vertical relationship. But what it also does, the third one coming back from the back of the head, the reason for this connection here, rooting back, relates into the dominant sense of our eyes. And really how in the way in which we move through the world, we are dominantly eye-based now. And as we become curious and interested, even when working with a client, if we get drawn into a system, it will be our face that comes forward. So to counteract that within the craniosacral fulcrums, there's this connection from the back of the head down 45 degrees. And that really brings the body back into this neutral space because it's counteracting our human desire to move forward. So from there, this relates into our sensory interaction of the world. So if we really, really go back in time, our human bodies are very well adapted at hunting. So within that awareness and that exploration and interaction of the environment, what happens is that we actually have a high integration of our senses. It is not just an eye-based experience, but it is everything from the smell, the quality of air temperature on our skin, it is, you know, kind of the different spatial view from, you know, kind of maybe far off areas to nearby areas, that the qualities of moving through the landscape, and also feeling underneath the skin through the feet, through contact, and just even the energetic moving through a forest. It all feeds our body system in relationship to the senses. And that's really the optimal, that is what our body, that's kind of the main range of how, of really the senses that we have within our body system. And working and moving around as a human being, predominantly we have lost a lot of those senses. We no longer use them. I remember being in a workshop a long time ago with Gil Headley, who's a well-known anatomist. And I remember him talking in a similar way a bit about the brain. And he said, it's amazing. We've got this, you know, kind of this incredible brain, you know, incredible head. And, you know, it's almost as if nowadays what we're doing is we're just using, you know, kind of, it's almost like the brain and the head is like a huge computer. And we're using that computer as a doorstop. And it really is this kind of, we are now very much dominantly using our eye senses and hearing. And that is a really, really specific shift that's occurred. But in normal day life, in our, you know, kind of regular world, as it were, what we have is, as we interact, we have these differing spatial interrelationships. So we have changing sights, we have movement, and there's also sounds and smells and those levels of integration. Now, obviously, as we move on to this online platform, we have a shift, and we have a shift where our spatial relationship comes directly into a screen. So we are now where we would have been modulating in the environment and moving around and actually having many, many different layers of distance. We are now all focused at one distance and on one screen. And what happens is we are really coming into a kind of tunnel vision almost. We are becoming incredibly focused in our ways of picking up information and also delivering information. So in the context of these earlier dynamics of communication, context of the vertical and of the horizontal, what we're starting to do is firstly become directly, you know, kind of connected to one spatial distance, but also we're getting drawn in predominantly by our eyes and also by our hearing. And we're losing a lot of the back space. We're losing a lot of the peripheral. And another way of viewing this is actually through within the senses is to look at animals and the animal kingdom. And within this, we have, so alongside this tunnel focus in, what we have is we now have predominant a lot more of that focus that is connected to predatorial behavior. It's very much that linear relationship with the world, and it's that going forward. And I haven't come across yet any research which connects us into the polyvagal system, but I would be very interested to see how this affects our body systems over time in relationship to the vagus nerve. Because what we have is we have very much this focus in that is related to the much higher level of alert within the fight and flight system. So in comparison, we are losing this peripheral awareness. Now, as a human being, we have both. We have that listening of peripheral, and we have the focus through. So this is something that's happening as a shift in how we're relating to the technology. And hang on, I'm going to come back to that because I'm just going to give a bit of a recap. So firstly, we've got this background of the dynamic of the vertical, the dynamic of the horizontal. Next, we've also got how we relate into space and how we can be drawn forward, connected into the senses, and how that can shift not only our physical posture, but our energetic layers of communication. What I want to look at now is more of a connection to some of the nonverbal communication that we pick up. And we pick up not from the individual body, but by the interrelationship. And this is within theater, this is how we tell story on stage. And so something which we've lost, and I'm sure you will appreciate it if you've had a conversation on Zoom or online, and then you've had a conversation in a garden with someone, and there is almost like this incredible relief, is that as part of body language is not, it's not connected to the action, it's connected to the timing of reaction in connection. So it's about action and reaction. And the thing that we're now missing in our group communications on Zoom, or yeah, online, is that when you start to speak in a normal circle or in a normal meeting room, what happens is you're not just saying what you're saying, but you're also scanning the environment for the peripheral shifts in body language. Has this idea gone down well? Has, you know, like, how has it been received? Oh, someone suddenly come up with an idea. You can see the movement coming up through the body when that happens. And this is something that when we come onto the online environment, we lose. It's very, very hard nowadays to, especially when speaking to a whole number of people, to really be able to differentiate these shifts in body language, because it's more something that we'd pick up from the peripheral side of things. So it's those qualities of having an idea, it's those qualities of literally the organic response of how someone feels about what is happening at that moment in time. So we lose that. So coming on. So firstly, there's that the spatial communication. And then secondly, the other side of things that we lose in our communication when we move on to the online platform is very much our understanding of spatial hierarchy. And this is something that is set up. You can see it in things like the family dinner table. Another thing is in the teacher-student classroom or in the boardroom. And what typically happens is that you get this relationship to space. It is a statement as to where you sit and when you sit there, how you move, and how you move through the space, how the physical space is shaped by the events. Really interestingly, there's a story about some research on family dynamics. And when they found that family, like members of the family, would change positions around the dining room table and have no issue around it, that there was smoother family dynamics. There were less areas of conflict. And that's because you're literally stepping into someone else's shoes. You're sitting in their place. And it's this interchangeability of roles. So this is something that this is another layer of communication that we're now losing with online platforms. It's now said that as we go online in this way, it's the most egalitarian way of communicating, because no longer is there a hierarchy to listen to the boss who sits at that side of you compared to the many audience that sits around and listens to him or her. So it's really interesting how these layers, they subliminally connect into our communications. So these are some things to take away. Now, unfortunately, it is not something where there is a magic wand to go, ta-da, you will no longer be have Zoom calls where you lose your center, or you have Zoom calls where you come off exhausted, or you feel like blown out from them. But what is a really key ingredient, which connects into some of the things we have seen today, is that there are certain tools that we can use when we start to become aware of these dynamics. And so, firstly, is to recognize the relational field and how we get drawn in, and to check in with your body as you go into Zoom calls, or if you're on many. What is your relational field? Are you coming in close? Are you moving away? Where are you? And it may be that as things get really interesting, you might suddenly really be zooming in. And just to check in, what is the dynamic of relationship going on? And then secondly, to recognize that the amount of information we pick up in regular life isn't present. So you are going to be straining to pick that up coming in. So there is a quality of coming back, sitting back, and letting it kind of almost wash over you in certain ways, knowing that you won't be able to pick up everything. And the next one is checking into spatial variability, recognizing that if we're interacting on one set screen the whole day, then actually getting out and about and doing other things to compensate, to shift our relationship to space, is even more important right now. So things like going off for walks in the wood, going for runs, and actually things, it may be more of a niche thing, but things such as parkour, or things where we are actually relating into physical distances, will keep that side of sensory awareness alive for us. And rather than banning all Zoom or banning things and saying, no, no, we're never going to do that, I think what's really important as we continue to evolve, really, is it's not just just saying, oh, no, 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 I'm not going to do that. I mean, that's certainly one option. But it's actually becoming aware of actually what other aspects of movement or of activity do I need to bring into my day to create a balance in my body. And that really, I'm going to jump onto part five of this bit, which is to recognize as we are connecting into this line experience of our body and we are coming forward, that really what we'll need to do is open up aspects of the back of the body. We did that little meditation of checking in to behind us, but there are also one or two specific activities that are particularly good in waking up that back space. And some of them are martial arts, where there's non-linear lines of movement. Another example is dance or contact improvisation, or very much these areas of spiral-like motion where there's a tuning in to the back of the body. And then finally, just to say, as we are migrating all these changes, to really recognize how with collaborative tasks that we're doing, how important they can be in as we pick up ideas from other people, as we pick up how a group is responding. If you're there and you're about to create if you're doing a collaborative task and you've got to create a new project, then just to really recognize how, for that specific use, having the physical responses is going to be really important. So if you are in a space where you can, for example, all meet in the office one day a week, then you want to be doing the collaborative tasks then and the one-to-one check-ins via online. So that is a little overview of some of our communication skills and in relationship to Zoom. And now I'm going to stop sharing my screen and hang on. Come back. There we go. Great. So, a little medley.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Vicky. Brilliant. Very good. So any questions from anybody or observations about that? Fascinating. There's some really interesting things you said there, Vicky, about that, you know, the social nervous system and the polyvagal thing. I hadn't thought about this whole thing about, you know, kind of tending to, because we're using our eyes so much, like tending to activate our sympathetic system more. And it was very interesting the last weekend doing this thing, and I was teaching a class in Budapest for the whole weekend. And so they were there in a room all together, and me and assistants and other people were on Zoom. So we had a camera on the room, and there was a translator. So it was a very interesting setup. It was slightly different to just everyone being on Zoom, because they could interact as a group, but I couldn't. And so it was a strange experience. It was very, very difficult to kind of feel into the dynamics. And what you were saying like earlier about like, well, all these other senses that we did, these kind of small micro movements that we pick up, isn't it, when we're talking to people or when we're in a group. And I mean, I was thinking even we use our sense of smell, you know, don't we? Yeah. It probably beneath the surface, you know, unconsciously we do.
Most definitely, yeah.
And so anyway, it was an interesting experience. But also you mentioned about tiredness. I mean, you mentioned about it felt absolutely exhausting. I think a lot of people do say that, don't they, when they spend a lot of time on Zoom, that it's really, really tiring. I know teachers say that a lot. And also the other thing, when you're giving lectures like you've just done now, I don't know how you feel now.
Yeah, but, pretty. This is what I've given.
It's also the fact that you don't get the same feedback, do you? Like you were talking, when you're interacting with someone, it's a one-way process. And I've noticed that it's quite easy as a presenter to go into sometimes almost a panic because you're not getting anything back. Even though people might be interested in what you're saying, it's quite easy not to get quite activated yourself by it, I find anyway.
Yeah. And I find that the parallel experience of that, I was thinking about this today because we obviously did the talk earlier, and I really had that experience of just thinking, wow, it's really like sometimes in theatre and movement, there are these, there are some practices of it being in a group, in a small group huddled together, and almost in a diamond formation, there'll always be one person at the front, and that person has to lead a movement, but they can't, you can never see what's behind, and you just have to have this really deep trust that people are following you behind. And there are, within those exercises, there is transference of leadership. So you will actually move through, and the next person, you know, kind of to your left will then be leading. So it's that ability to just then, you know, kind of take on leadership and give it away. That's part of the thing. But I really felt like, wow, I was dancing up there, and I had no idea about the people behind. You know, you could be like, wow, I don't know. And it is a really unusual experience. And I'm really curious. I came across quite recently a really interesting documentary by someone called John Berger, who did some work. It was over in like late 1970s, early 80s. And he was talking about the camera and how the camera has changed the ways of seeing, and how it created kind of this objective that, you know, there was a no longer just subjective view and subjective reality. There was an objective, like outside of the self, and being able to share that. And on a kind of almost taking some of those ideas, but then translating it into this really bizarre time, is that it's now the ways of this whole shift to online is now really creating a change in how we are, how we are speaking out or how we are talking out, because there's no longer that audience feedback. And it's a curious one. It is a really curious one. So it's almost like our ways of watching or our ways of performing are changing.
Yeah. I suppose it's like when you're in a theatre and you're performing and you can't see the audience is in the dark and you have no idea. But even then you can get a sense, can't you? Like the atmosphere, you can get a sense, even if you can't see them, right?
Yeah. And so then this also comes on to a very trippy part of my explorations, which has been in theatre and mask, but in a sense of quite a lot of the masks that I will work with, that performer can't see, performer moves blindly. And yet you can still get biofeedback and sensory feedback from the audience. And I have a theory that this is connecting into our, literally into our animal senses of sensory gauging and sensory awareness. So there is this physical, there is deep, deep knowledge in being physically near each other. There's also this very interesting thing about the, in connection to the vagus nerve, around the different fields of our bodies and how we sense and how we meet. So rather than actually meeting someone and you know, information going from the brain down to the heart, there's a huge amount of information. Around 80% of information between the brain and the heart goes from the heart up. So you're actually physically meeting, and the heart fields are meeting, and then there's sensory information going up. So that it's a very physical based experience. So it is really curious. It's very curious. Yeah.
Cool. Right, I think there's a question from Sheila. Let's get that up for you. So if you've seen that. So Sheila's asking, how much of what will be taught in the 3-week class will be grounded to womb life experiences, such as the such as she explained the connection to umbilical connection to mother. Oops, lost that. Did you get that?
typically, so within that the presence of that. That connection on the umbilical cord connection, really that area of work relates into the craniosacral work that I've done. And so predominantly with the 3-week workshop, the three workshops over 3 weeks, what we'll be looking at is we'll be more specifically focusing on evolution and on species shifts and species development. Within that comes into it in terms of when species become placental, when there is a relationship to young. And that is around, this is as we look back in evolution, that is an unknown, that knowing exactly the point that placental births evolve is not yet known, because it's a soft tissue relationship. So that within evolution is partly an unknown. But yeah, so to summarize the answer to your question, it will be touched on very briefly, but it won't be focused on that. So in terms of more of the connection to embryology and that side of things is more actually from a different view, is coming from a different angle relating into the aquatic life. So there will be some parts of you know, kind of aquatic movement, but less around the womb dynamics connecting to placenta and the horizontal relational field. It'll be more focused on evolution, this three-part series. Yeah.
Thanks, Vicky. Great. So Brice is just commenting, it's as though we're being forced into an autistic form of communication for which we have no teaching. Perhaps projecting oneself into the common space where all are present will reconnect us to an energetic physical dimension. I mean, it's been interesting. I know a lot of craniosacral therapists have been experimenting with this, haven't they, with the sort of working online. We had Thomas Attlee talking about this, and I know Jenny Mayer and other people have been working with this. So it's a very interesting thing. And also we had Rupert Sheldrake recently talking about this, you know, how our natural abilities to tune in on this level that all animals have, all animals seem to have, and how this works on this level is very interesting anyway.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, Vicky. So you're going to be with us next Tuesday and 10:30. If you want to sign up for that course, that'd be lovely. And tomorrow we have Kathy Dooley back with us, Dr. Kathy Dooley from New York. And she's going to be doing a course on lymphatics, which should be really, really interesting. She's a wonderful presenter. That's 7 o'clock tomorrow for a course with Kathy Dooley. And then on Thursday, I'm going to be talking to Ginny Dobson, who's a psychotherapist and EMDR specialist, about her work with the Yazidi women in Kurdistan. You may know in the news that they were abducted by ISIS and subjected to horrendous things. And she's been working with them for quite a while now, doing all kinds of different trauma work. So that's going to be a fascinating talk on Thursday evening. That's a free one if you want to join us for that. And then as well as Vicky on Tuesday morning, we have Matthew Appleton with us on Tuesday evening next week as well. Great. Thanks, Vicky.
Pleasure.
And we'll see you next week. Perfect.
Take care.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye.